Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. We're going to talk tonight about trust and faith. We're going to, I don't know if compare and contrast would be the right way to, phrase it, but we're just going to talk about the difference between those two and similarities and things like that. When we hear those words, faith and trust, they sound pretty similar in a lot of ways, don't they? I mean, they really do. When you think, do you trust somebody? Would somebody maybe referring to another person could say, well, do you have faith in them? And while they're very, very similar, sort of, they're quite different in other ways. I just think it's important that we as Christians understand that it's possible to have great trust in God and have very little faith in God. It almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? We can really trust God. We can affirm that and get aboard with it. But just because we trust God does not ensure, does not guarantee that our faith in God is as strong as our trust in God. Okay? How many of you are now looking forward to having that explained? Good. Well, Pastor Rex is going to come up and explain that. However, let me say this. You can't have great faith in God and have little trust in God. This is really good. I wish you could see the video of your faces up here. Some of you got a nice, pleasant smile on your face. Some of you are deadpanned. Some of you are, your faces are quite contorted at this moment in time. It's like, please explain. Some of you, your ears are crooked. One ear is down, one ear is up, trying to, kind of like a horse trying to figure out which is up. Okay? Let me just read a few verses. I could literally read 50, 60, 70, 80 or whatever. I just feel like time-wise we don't have time to necessarily go through each and every verse that talks about trust. But let me read a few key verses that I think, at least that I think are key. Psalms 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Psalms 118 verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, let's go to a real key scripture that probably most of you, when you even hear the phrase, trust in the Lord, probably go to this scripture in Proverbs. Which chapter? Chapter 3 and what verse? There you go. See? Let's start in verse 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's some things in all of these scriptures that maybe aren't readily apparent until you really step back from the verse and look at the verse as a whole. Psalms 37:3 says, trust in the Lord, and then right, it just flows right next, and do good. So here's one thing already that you can find about these verses. It says here, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There's one deal. Then it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. I'm going to try to give you some metaphors, some examples maybe even of to try to flesh this out, because I really do think it's key. Trusting in God is crucial to the life of the believer. I mean, we've got to, well, let me say this. We put our trust in something. Every one of us, it's just what and to what degree do we put our trust in, right? Doesn't it say in Jeremiah, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots? But I will trust in the name of the Lord, okay? If you have a motor, I'll even use a car as an example. It's not the best example, but I'll use a car as an example. We have a 2004 Ford Expedition four-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive is good for what different circumstances? Yeah, when you need more traction. On the simplest level, when you need more traction, four-wheel drive doubles your traction, right? And specifically, on a car like a Ford Expedition, there's very little weight in the back. So if you can get those front wheels pulling for you or whatever, you're going to be better off, right? Because you're going to have a lot of weight in front. Your traction's going to get better. But if we would have bought, we didn't buy that car brand new, but if we would have bought that car brand new, we could read all of the specifications of the motor. We could read the specifications of the drivetrain. We could find out what the gear ratio of the transmission is. And depending on how deep we want to go and we could find out the torsion strength and the shear strength of the very metal that those components are made out of. We could even go deeper on a molecular level of that steel. In other words, we could just go as deep as we want to go in finding out what the specifications / data is, listen, of the capabilities of this thing called a 2004 brand new Ford Expedition. Are you with me? We could get as detailed as we want to get, or we could do, and ladies, this isn't against you, it's just that most ladies aren't mechanically minded. There may be some in the crowd that are, and if you are, cool. But if you're not, don't get offended. Or we could be like, I won't offend the rest of you ladies, my wife. Where's the keys? Does it have gas? Will it start? It's all I care about. Does the four-wheel drive work? Yep. Cool. Great. I'm good to go. She probably is not going to be interested in the rear axle ratios to find out how well it cruises down the road in terms of changing the RPM of the motor. She really doesn't care about that. She wants to get from point A to point B and do it in a comfortable / safe way. Are you with me? Okay. There's a lot of guys like that as well. Okay. Now, a guy may want to go just a little bit more in depth maybe, and a guy might want to just read up a little bit more and maybe even get into, you know, what sort of an angle do you think this thing could climb? Are you with me? And might just begin to think of, you know, what sort of a grade could this thing just really get with it at? You know, at what point in time does it kick into low gear? And, you know, all this sort of stuff. And how does the all-wheel drive work versus the manual four-wheel? You know, all that. A guy could just get in there and just go to town and go, oh, wow, did you find out that this metal here is metal made of, you know, 41, yeah, I don't know. I don't 5166 steel, something like that. Honey, did you know that the tensile strength on that and the torsion strength on that? In other words, that just, yeah, she might just be going, cool, babe, who cares? But the guy may just go, da, 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 and it may change some things in him. Listen real close. Because this analogy really has turned out to be a really good analogy. So until I spend time in that vehicle using its data and putting its data to the test, I can have great trust in that car's capabilities. I could even go out and tell my friends, this new 2000, that's an oxymoron in 2012, but this new 2004 Ford Expedition, boy, I tell you, it's got a 5.9 liter engine, and it's got this, and boy, it's gear action, man, it'll do this, and boy, they even say it'll do this. And listen real close, and fully believe it. Fully believe it. It has that capability. I have, and the more you read, what happens? The more trust you have. The more knowledge you have. The more, well, it does this. Honey, you can't believe it'll do this. Of course, her response might be, I don't care. But it's like, wow, it'll do this. And did you know it has this side, you know, it's got this side, what do you call it? Yeah, that. It's got that side airbag. And you know, if that hill that I'm trying to climb goes south, that airbag's going to save me. Are you with me? Your brain can go and you can have a lot before you ever put it to the test. You see, as Christians, we can have great trust in this data sheet about the capabilities of the God that we serve. We can read scriptures here that'll tell how tall, how steep of a mountain you can climb with His help. You can read about exploit that He's done, because you know every car also puts within its advertising what has been done, correct? It has done this. I mean, in this test, it won this deal, and it won this deal, and this one, this. We can read this specification manual right here about the capabilities of the God we serve, and we can believe it wholeheartedly. But until we get into the car, and listen, spend time experiencing its capability, we don't necessarily have what we call true biblical faith. Are you with me? We had, years ago, when we first got married, we got married in 1982. And in 1980, when did we buy that car? 86 or 87? Our Toyota. 86? We bought a 1984 Toyota Land Cruiser. Not the Jeep one, but the longer one. And in Canada, you can't buy them in America, but in Canada, you can buy, it had a four-cylinder diesel engine. Four-speed. I can tell you that Durrett doesn't care about how many degrees it will climb, but I used to know how many degrees you could climb in a Toyota Land Cruiser. But guess what? It could live up to all of its capabilities. But listen real close. I had to spend copious amounts of time experiencing its capabilities before I had the faith to really rest in a tough, tight, stressful situation. Are you with me? Okay, in other words, here's what happens sometimes for us as Christians. And it's not bad, it's just an observation. We say we've got great trust in God. Great trust in God. We've read about His abilities. We've read about what He's done in different areas of life. Right? What He's provided for us in different areas of life. He's provided salvation for us. He's provided comfort for us. He's provided peace for us. He's provided healing for us. He's provided provision for us. All these different things. We've read about it and we believe it. We believe it. We have great trust in it. That is not the same as saying, I've experienced those capabilities, therefore my faith has grown in that area. In other words, it would have been very difficult for me when we got that Land Cruiser to go out, and I'm just going to pretend that this isn't a true figure, but let's just pretend that its maximum capability was going up a 32-degree incline, okay? But now I'm in a situation in life that I have to go up. I find myself in a situation in life. I'm between a rock and a hard place, and I've got to go up a 32-degree incline. Let me just ask you a question. I can have the greatest trust in the world and know that the capabilities of this car can handle that whole thing. Do I have great faith in pulling that off? Absolutely not. Are you with me? In fact, listen real close. The situation's stress may totally overwhelm me to where I'm paralyzed to move, even though the rig has the capabilities to do it all. Now make the transfer in your brain. We serve a God that's more powerful than any situation we will ever experience in life. Everybody agree with that? There is nothing that we can experience in life that God's going to be left with His pants pockets open and go, I'm at a standstill. But listen, we may find ourselves having great trust in the capabilities of the God that we serve. But because we've never spent the time in the rig, or in this case, with the one seeing, experiencing on our behalf, putting, if I could say it this way, in a positive way, putting Him to the test. Not in a temptation way. Are you with me? But simply going, okay, God, man, the data here says that you can do this. God, I'm going to step out and I trust you, but I'm going to step out and start the car. And I want to experience that. Are you with me? Sometimes we find ourselves as Christians in situations that the stress is too great because we haven't spent time in the rig experiencing how incredible and how powerful He really is. And have you ever seen? I've seen it many, many times in life of where a Christian finds themselves overwhelmed by the situation and end up paralyzed in fear and never, listen real close, and never experience the greatness of what this, of what God can do, even though they end up looking backwards and go, why did I not make it through that? I trusted God. You ever heard that said before? Now, I want you to look real close details at this. 5, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust, I'm just going to say this, you guys can think about it, you know, arrive at your own conclusions. Trust primarily involves your belief system. Ultimately, with a vehicle, do I believe what's written about this vehicle's capability? I believe it. You might, there's people that probably would read the owner's manual or the specification data sheet of a 2004 Ford Expedition and read it and go, "Pah, you won't do that, no way," right? And just never believe it. And because they never believe it, listen real close, guess what? They'll never put it to the test to see if it really can happen. And so they'll end up, I'm trying to make two comparisons at the same time, they'll end up building a theology that a Ford Expedition can't do that. How many Christians go through their entire Christian life just not being able to grasp, for whatever reason, what this says God can, will, want to do, and then end up going through life and never ever being able to experience it? Therefore, they do what's called backwards theology, and they build then a theology based upon what hasn't been done because they've never done it. Therefore, God must not be able to nor want to do it. Are you with me? Incredible. It's incredible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. When it says in that other Psalm 118 verse, it says it's better to put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. That's primarily in the intellectual realm of what you believe. Are you with me? But then look at the next phrase. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Ways is the Hebrew word spelled D-E-H, or at least our phonetic spelling. D-E-H-R-E-K. And guess what it means? Mode of action. Everybody say action. Faith is action. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Now, that path isn't the creation of a road. What that means is as you live out what you say you trust in, your life, your paths, the way you live life will work. And why is that powerful? It's one thing for us as Christians to buy into a belief. It's an entirely other thing for us to walk out in action that belief. Isn't that right? In fact, a lot of people that have a problem with Christians came by the problem with Christians honestly. Then some use it as an excuse. But have you ever been around somebody that can talk a great talk of what they say they believe about God, right? But then when you look at their ways, you go, "I don't think you believe it." Are you with me? Somebody, for instance, this is an extreme deal. "Oh, God is love, and His love has been shed abroad in our heart, and I just trust in the Lord." And you're just meaner than an old snake in how you live out your ways. Your mode of action with people, you're just mean and nasty and rude and obnoxious. And the world looks at that, or Christians look at that and go, "But you say this, but you live like this," right? And what do we call that? Hypocrite, right? You know, and so people that have, you know, been hurt by that, they came by it honestly in the fact that it was wrong, but then there's some people that just use it all as an excuse. Churches filled with nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, right? And have you ever heard that before? "So I'm staying away." You want a good response to that if you just want to mess with somebody's head a little bit? "I would rather go to church with them than hell with them." I told that to a cowboy once, and it was just funny. He just went on and on about hypocrites. I said, "Well, just let me ask you a question, sir. Would you rather go to church with them, or would you rather go to hell with them?" He went, "Let's talk about something else." So here's the thing. Trust involves primarily, I'm not going to make a dogmatic statement. Trust involves primarily what you believe. You arrive at that belief. For us as Christians, we're talking about trust and faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by... We arrive at our trust in God by what we read about God. Are you with me? And we read and we get on and man, we just, you know, I like it to mechanical things. You read about the capabilities of this new saw you're going to buy, or this new whatever it may be, and you read about its capabilities, and you're already, Bud's done carpentry work all of his life. Before you ever have the tool, you think it's the greatest tool that ever walked, right? You tell others how incredible this tool is. If somebody were to ask you about the tool, though, you couldn't say, but I've got faith in that tool. All you could say is, I trust in that tool's capability. You can't say you have faith in that tool until you have used that tool and you've put it to the test to see if its capabilities are really there, right? Any of you ever, I'm not going to make fun of anything, so I hope it doesn't come across like that. Any of you ever bought a tool from Harbor Freight? Okay, you paid $17.99 for a tool. That if you buy the United States made tool, you might pay $117.99. Are you with me? Okay. So, let me just ask you a question. Foreign made tools that Harbor Freight carries a lot, does the typical person that understands tools have as much trust in those tools as they do the same tool that's made by maybe an American, you know, big dog reputable company? No. Why is that? Isn't it interesting? Listen real close. Isn't it interesting that people will denigrate a tool that they've never, ever used? They've arrived at their trust solely from what they've read about its capabilities and by the testimony of what other people have said about. Are you with me? So, I could look at Chicago Electric? Yeah, one of them is Chicago Electric, I know, okay. Here's a Chicago Electric tool, and here's a Milwaukee, right? Chicago Electric is from Harbor Freight, and Milwaukee is at any reputable tool salesman anywhere in America. You can buy a Milwaukee, whatever. You're going to pay probably 10 to 15 times more for the Milwaukee. Even though you've never used the reciprocal saw that you're going to buy as a Milwaukee, your trust level is infinitely higher, probably, than the one from Harbor Freight. Why? It's mental. It's what you've chose to believe. Are you with me? But listen, once you get your Milwaukee and you plug it in for the first time, and you use it on the first job, the first project that you're going to use, now all of a sudden, faith begins to be built in what you've already trusted in. Here's the cool thing about God. Now, I have some of you tool guys. You know what a fine tool is? F-E-I-N. I'm building a project that's a many-year project. So if you take it out over the life of the amount of days that I'm going to extend that tool's lifetime over, that cool costs $499. You can buy that exact same tool at Harbor Freight for $34.99. But listen, I'm doing a project outside that I have to use a fine tool. It's the little reciprocating deal that just goes like this, okay? The real one, the fine tool, F-E-I-N, it will last me and my son an entire lifetime. Okay? Anything goes wrong with that tool, it'll get repaired just slicker than a whistle. I've got the $34.99 one, and I have the real one. And I can tell you which one I have more faith in. I've got more faith in the fine tool. Do you know why? Listen, because I've put it to the test. I've had it do stuff that it said it would do, and I'm kind of that kind of a guy, right? If I'm going to spend the money, especially that kind of money for something, dude, it's not going to sit on the shelf and look pretty. It's going to pay for itself. And guess what? Yet, I've never, ever taken it past its capabilities. The other saw, however, I baby it. You know why? I just don't believe it can hold up. So I use it on baby jobs, stuff that's no big of a deal. And the reason why? Because its blades are cheaper. I don't mind spending $3 or $4, and if I go through a project and have to use 5 of them, I'm good with that. Because a blade for a fine tool costs a little bit more. But guess what? My faith in both of those things has been experienced not by just reading the article, but by experiencing the tool itself. So, Pastor, what are you saying? There's a lot of Christians that have never taken God at His word and put Him to the test, even though they believe the book. So in believing the book, they can say, I've got great trust in God. But it doesn't build your faith until you experience Him working on your behalf, which leads to the next point. How do you experience God? Brain thought. How many of you are horse people? Raise your hand. You still ride? Good for you. Raise your hand if you're a horse person. Hey, maybe I ought to use another example because there's 4. I've had some pretty fine horse flesh over the years. And horses, a 4-year-old horse or an 8-year-old horse, there's probably going to be very little difference in their physical strength, what they're capable of doing in terms of capability. But one thing I would never do, you know, we've usually had more than one horse around our place. And depending on the job that needed to get accomplished, spoke to which horse I would use. Okay? Now, one horse that we had, that would be the horse that if somebody pulled me aside and stuck a gun to my head and said, I want you to accomplish this task that you've never ever done on a horse before. I want you to accomplish this task. I would have full faith in one of our horses that I could do it on that horse. But I wouldn't have full faith to do it in a horse that I had just spent 90 days in a round penned in and just got it barely to a spot that it could let me sit on it and trot and lope without bucking. Okay? Are you with me? Even though the capability is inherently in that animal to do incredible feats, what I have to do is I have to take that horse in incremental steps, right? Incremental steps. I have a stud horse that same age as our 3rd daughter, and that horse, I showed that horse in reining for a few years, and that's a specific things that they ask you to do on a horse. You do circles, and you know it's got to be on the right lead, and then you slide, and that's the fun part, and then you spin and do some stuff like that. Now, do you know today, I could go out on that horse today, and just with a little bit of tune-up, I could do an entire reining pattern on that horse without a bridle. I've done it before. I can do an entire deal on that. But you know how that happened? When I got that horse as a 2-year-old, unbroken, I had full trust that that horse could win awards and do incredible things. I had full trust before it was ever broke that it could do that. But it took me years to get that horse where it is today. And now I have full faith in what I've trusted in for almost 20 years. But that faith was built time again. Let's ask for a little bit more. Let's ask for a little bit more. Let's ask for just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Come on, you can do it. Just a little bit more. Now here's the thing. God is perfect. What He says in here is absolutely true. But we experience it day in and day out, and we trust for, listen, or we put our faith out for, we act out a little bit more of His capabilities. What do you mean by that? Let's put a practical example. Any of you ever prayed for somebody, laid your hands on somebody, and seen them healed by the power of God? A lot of Christians never ever, now, they would say, oh, you can trust God for your healing. But let me just ask a question. If somebody's on their deathbed, seriously ready to die, and you've never yet stepped out in faith and prayed for their healing, would you rather pray for somebody that's on their last breath or start out praying for somebody that has a cold? I'm not denigrating one or the other. I'm looking at it practically. What would be the smartest thing to do? Oh, start out with something that, if I could say it this way, is relatively minor in comparison, but it's huge regardless. That person that has the cold would love to be healthy. Are you with me? Man, let's step out in faith and go for that. Don't try to get in your Toyota and you've never driven. You've never had it in four-wheel drive. You know that it has four-wheel drive. You know how to put it in four-wheel drive, but you've never put it in four-wheel drive. Don't go out and enter a competition with somebody to see if you can take it to its maximum capability on the first crack out of the chute. We experience God and develop our faith in who we already trust by incrementally experiencing His goodness and His faithfulness. Does this help at all? Does it help flesh it out, or is it kind of no big of a deal? I know you're not going to look at me and go, no, it's not that big of a deal at all. It's like you thought that was insightful. Well, good for you. Can you see how somebody really can have trust in God and not have developed their faith in God? And I think a lot of Christians are in that spot and they really just don't realize it. Amen? Is that good?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.